Amen. That's our pre-worship song for next Sunday. I'd like to give you that little preview on Sunday nights. You're missing it if you went to see the Super Bowl tonight on TV. So, all right, well, welcome to everyone who is watching with us online, that you're not over there watching the Super Bowl, or maybe you're watching two things at the same time on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being there with us. Also, if you're at home and you have access to the church website, don't forget that we have the worship bulletin there under the info tab, the children's worship bulletins. Those are at the doors. These are in the windows, windowsill over here to my right. We've also got the prayer list. We encourage you to download that. Pick up a paper copy if you're here in person. It's on the table out here across from the office. Want to just remind you, too, while you're on the church website, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your regular online giving. You can give your giving for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. I don't know if you saw that, and I did not mention it this morning in your bulletins there. You'll notice the total we had for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We blew that out of the water, $8,581. And so praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your giving towards that. I forgot to mention that this morning. I want to encourage you, too, that if you have not filled out one of those connection cards, this is the last time I'm going to mention it, so last time I'll get on you. If you're not getting those notices, this is why. We don't have your information in the system to send the text call to you, to send the information to you. Maybe we do have it, but you're not getting them, and you want to get those. So please fill out one of those. Indicate on the bottom how you want to get that so we can make sure that's corrected in the system. There, if you've got new email addresses, new address, however you want to get those things, be sure to let us know. Don't forget about the YouVersion Bible app that we have with our Bible reading plan of our Hear Our Prayer, Hear Our Cry, O Lord, the 30-day prayer challenge. Don't forget also the upcoming Men's Night of Worship that's coming February the 28th over at Rutledge Falls Baptist Church. That's February 28th. And then also don't forget the new Bless app. The QR code that you see on the screen is there also in your bulletins. You can scan it there. You can scan it out of the newsletter. If you don't want to scan it and put all your information in there, that's fine too. Just let us know. Call us at the church office. Say you want to be a part of that prayer, blessed ministry, whatever you call it, and we'll get you a printed list of people in your neighborhood that you can pray for. And we'll send those to you each week or ever how often you want to receive those. You'll see five at a time. So just want to encourage you, sign up for that. That's one of the emphases that we want to be doing this year is praying for others. That's where it all begins. Salvation begins with prayer as we're praying for the Spirit to work in people's lives, as we're praying for God to give us the words to speak and to say to them. It begins with prayer for God moving there. And so we want to encourage you, and that's a way that we can encourage you is sending out these reminders for you to pray for those specific neighbors of yours. So if you want to be a light in your community, sign up on this. On this Bible app here, or this app called the Bless app, not the Bible app. So thank you, Brother Mike.
Take your hymnals and turn to 416, and let's sing My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Stand. Ms. Gill? My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day. Thank you.
Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and open them to the book of Hebrews once again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. We're also, as we have been with many of these individuals in the Hall of Faith, we've been going back to the Old Testament to see their story more in detail, to see why they are included in the Great Hall of Faith. In verse 30, in particular, we don't have a name of an individual that's mentioned, but we do know the biblical story of what happens there, so we could assume that who he's speaking of here is Joshua in verse 30. As we're seeing what he leads the people of Israel to do. So if you would, let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word tonight. Lord, as we are looking at overcoming obstacles by faith, what a huge obstacle Joshua and the people of Israel were facing as they were coming into the promised land with this huge city and its wall, its great wall around it called Jericho. Father, I pray that you would speak to us in this word tonight, especially here in Hebrews and in Joshua, to speak to us, Lord, the truths that you would help us to learn how we can live by faith, to have that kind of faith that overcomes the obstacles that may be placed in our lives. Lord, we may be going through situations that are obstacles right now. They may seem insurmountable. They may seem as if, Lord, there is no way out. But Lord, we know that you are in control, and somehow, some way, you will use these things we're going through to bring glory to your name and to bring good into our lives, even when we don't always see it. So we ask, Heavenly Father, for you to bless your word tonight. May it go forth and not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, as we say, we've been walking through Hebrews chapter 11 together for some time here through this great hall, God's Hall of Faith. And every life recorded there reminds us of one unchanging truth, that when God evaluates a person, he does not measure people by their achievements, by their popularity, or their outward success. Over and over and over throughout Hebrews chapter 11, we see that he measures us by faith, by our faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29, he said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. God doesn't say according to your past. He doesn't say according to your feelings. He doesn't say according to your resources or your lack of resources, but he says according to your faith. That means the determining factor in your life is not what you have or what you lack, but whether you're willing to trust God or not. And that's why this whole series here in Hebrews chapter 11 is so transforming and matters so much, because we're not just studying history, we're learning how to live. When God sums up your life, he's not going to ask about how famous you were. He's not going to ask if you played in the Super Bowl, in Super Bowl 60 or not. He's not going to ask any of those guys that. When God sums up your life, he doesn't ask how famous you are. He doesn't ask how much you owned. He doesn't ask how comfortable you became. He's going to ask one thing: did you believe me? Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the doorway to God's promises. And faith is the means by which ordinary people see extraordinary victories. As we come to this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 30 again, by faith, it tells us, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. And so when we say here that this is probably referring to Joshua, it's not just to Joshua, it is also to the people of Israel who believed God, who followed through with what Joshua told them the Lord said to do, and they believed, and it was by faith that these walls came down. Jericho stood as the first great obstacle in Israel's promised land. As they had come across the Jordan River, it was one of the first cities that they would have come to. And God had given them the land, but between them and the fulfillment of that promise of giving them the land stood this massive, fortified, ancient city. Jericho was strong, but Jericho was also immoral and idolatrous and seemingly invincible. The walls of the city, as they looked at those walls, were saying to God's people, to Israel, you can't go any further. This is the end of the line. You might have got across the Jordan River there, but you're not getting through this city. And yet God said, by faith, the walls fell. And it's that same principle that applies to us, because every one of us as believers do face Jerichos, something that stands between us and God's will. So understand that. A Jericho in your life is not just some arbitrary struggle. It is something that stands between you and God's will. It may be a broken relationship. It could be a destructive habit. It could be some unresolved past, a health crisis, a financial pressure, spiritual fear, or lingering guilt. Whatever your Jericho is, God has not changed. And what He did then, He can do now. So how do we overcome obstacles by faith? Now, we're not talking about a name it and claim it kind of faith here. What I want you to see is this faith is rooted in the Word of God, not in what we desire, not in what we want, but what does God's promises in His Word say? So I want you to see, first of all, I want you to go back in the Old Testament to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 down through verse 15. I want you to see the worship of faith. You see this first of all in Joshua's life here, in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13 down through verse 15. So let's read those verses, if you will. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy," and Joshua did so. Before Joshua ever gives a strategy to the people, what we see him doing here is God gives him a revelation of himself. Here's Joshua, who's standing before that formidable city, Jericho there. He's looking, just like everybody else is, at these massive walls, and he's calculating the difficulty of the task before him. He is a warrior. He is a leader. He was doing what leaders naturally would do. He's sizing up the problem. He's analyzing the danger. He's considering the odds and the risk. But while he's focused on the obstacle, notice what happens. God redirects his attention to his presence. Now notice here in the verses that we just read that Joshua suddenly sees a man standing before him with a drawn sword. Now instinctively, Joshua asks, "Are you for us or are you for our adversary?" Some people are asking that tonight. Is God for our football team or is he for the other football team? I'll tell you, he's for neither. He's for neither. Joshua asks, "Are you for us or are you for your adversaries?" The answer was unexpected. No. In essence, the captain of the Lord of hosts was saying, "I've not come to take sides, I've come to take over." And that truth changes everything. God does not exist to serve our plans. We exist to submit to his purposes. And at that moment, Joshua realizes he's not just standing before any angel. He's not standing before Michael. He's not standing before Gideon. He's not standing before just an ordinary angel. Notice what he does when he sees this man. He's not standing before any ordinary messenger. He falls down on his face and he worships. Now notice, if this had been an angel, you know what the angel would have said, because the angel does say in other places, don't bow down and worship me, worship God. I'm just a messenger. But this angel says, this person says, none of this. This individual says, none of this. Joshua falls down and he worships him. Notice that he doesn't refuse his worship, because he is the Lord himself, the pre-incarnate Christ Jesus. Joshua's sword, notice what happens in these verses. He sees that man, he has his sword drawn. Joshua went to him and said to him, you for us or for the adversaries? He said, no, but I'm the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I've come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? When he falls down before the Lord Jesus here, Joshua's sword falls to the ground. He falls to the ground. His pride falls with him to the ground. His heart is fallen to the ground. And finally, in the right position to receive instruction. One of the things that we need to see here is as he worships, worship realigns us. He's been looking over here at the city walls, measuring it up, calculating, seeing what's the plan. This man appears with a sword in his hand, and he immediately realizes this is not just any ordinary angel, any ordinary messenger. This is God coming before him, and he bows down to worship Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ here. He falls before him, and it realigns his worship. It reminds us in these verses here of who God is and who we really are. Faith always begins when our heart bows. Because notice how we can conclude this. There's more evidence. This is not just an angel of the Lord. Notice what it goes on to say. It says in verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. Now, what does that remind us of? You remember hearing that before? When Moses was there at the burning bush, and he was told to take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. Notice that when he says you're standing on holy ground here, when he says in that verse that you are where you're standing is holy, he's not focusing on the place. In other words, it's not about the place. It's about his posture. Joshua was stepping into holy ground because he was standing in God's presence. He was standing in God's presence. Understand this, faith, our faith can grow when we treat God as holy, not common. Sovereign, not optional. You can treat God, you cannot treat God casually and expect him to move powerfully in your life. This is where many of us struggle. We ask God to bless our plans rather than surrendering to him and saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Isn't that what Joshua said at the end of verse 14? What does my Lord say to his servant? Joshua doesn't say, well, Lord, we've got this city over here, this wall over here. We've got this city over here. We've got to conquer to get into the promised land. Tell me what we need to do. No, he doesn't ask him that. He tells God, what does my Lord say to my servant? He doesn't come to him with his own plan. We'll build this rampart up or whatever. We ask God so often to bless our plans rather than just surrendering to his will. So notice that faith doesn't begin with asking God to join us. It begins with us joining God. And when we truly worship, you stop negotiating with God and saying, God, if you'll do this, then I will do that. And we just start submitting. We stop arguing and we start trusting. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, our faith begins to rise, because our faith is not in ourselves, it's in the author and finisher of our faith. It's in Jesus, the object of our faith. So notice the work of faith, secondly. You go to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 down through verse 5. Once again, once Joshua has worshiped, God gives him instructions. So notice verse 1. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. So the people of Jericho had the city walls blocked up, the doors are shut, nobody can come in, nobody can go out because the people of Israel are coming. It says, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua in verse 2, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. And notice God says what he says here. Before anything has ever happened, he says, basically, essentially, I've already given it to you into your hand. It's a done deal, is what he's saying. Verse 3, he says, though, to get to that place, you shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. And thus you shall do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So notice here, the plan that God gives Joshua is unlike anything Joshua's ever seen or heard about. This was not the kind of plan that any enemy had used maybe against other nations. This is not something he's seen to ever happen before. It's unthinkable here. Think about this. He'd been looking at the walls of that city. Some estimates are that that wall was anywhere from 12 to 15 feet wide, 32 to 46 feet high. Insurmountable as one of the first city outposts coming across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. As a trained military leader, Joshua would have expected siege ramps. Tell us to build some dirt rock ramps to get up and over the wall. If you ever go to Israel, one of the great sites that you get to see there if you go on a tour of Israel is Megiddo. If you've ever seen the movie Megiddo that came out many, many years ago, that is how the Romans were able to come in to that impenetrable force there, is they built a rampart, they built a sand dune rock pile all the way up so that they could roll their chariots right up over the top of the wall and into the city. That's what a military leader would have thought. Let's build some ramparts. Maybe it's weapons that we need. Maybe it's some specific attack formation. But instead, God says, I want you to walk around the city. And I want you to blow the trumpets. And I want you to shout. And we're thinking, and Joshua's thinking, what? Walk around the city, blow the trumpets, and then shout? Understand this plan. This plan required obedience without explanation. It forced Israel into a place, like they had been many times before, it forced them into a place to rely not on their own strength, not on their own skill or their own logic, but to trust in God alone. Because understand, the power of bringing that city wall down was not in the marching. It was in the trusting. God was teaching his people that victory would not come through human effort, but through divine intervention. Faith is not passive, it is obedient. True faith doesn't wait for perfect understanding. But Lord, that's what we tend to want to say. But Lord. Let me tell you this. What about this or what about that? But Lord, faith doesn't wait for perfect understanding. It acts on God's command. The Bible reminds us in James chapter 2 and verse 26, that without work, that faith without works is dead. If we claim to believe God, but we refuse to obey Him, then our faith is really empty. It's hollow. And that's why obedience tests our trust. It reveals whether we believe God's word more than we do our own human reasoning. The people of Israel, they could have questioned God's method. They could have delayed and said, well, let's just wait a little bit and think this thing through. Or they could have just changed his plan. But instead, Joshua and the people of Israel, that's one of the reasons I believe in Hebrews 11:30 there's not a specific name mentioned there because it applies to Joshua and to the people. Instead, what we see is they followed God step by step. And the same's true for us. God often asks us to obey before He explains. He asks us to forgive when it hurts, to give when it seems risky. He asks us to serve when it seems inconvenient. Oh, I don't have time for that right now. He commands us and calls us to trust even when we cannot see the outcome. And so faith works because it believes that God's way is always the right way. You may not understand exactly what God is doing, but you can still obey Him. And when you do, you position yourself to see God at work in a miraculous way. Faith begins with worship. And when we stop focusing on the size of our problem and we start focusing on the greatness of our God, then everything begins to change. Faith grows when we recognize that God is holy, that God is sovereign, that God is in complete control. So often we live our lives as if God is not in complete control, that it's somehow up to us to fix the problem. Faith grows when we recognize those things. So Joshua removes his sandals. He does it. He's obedient when he's told to do that. He acknowledges that when he stands on that holy ground. And that's the posture of faith. That is humility before God. You'll never overcome Jerichos in your life while clinging to control. Faith grows when you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And truly mean that. It's almost like you're signing a blank check, a blank page. Lord, put on the page what it is you want me to do. I commit to doing it, no matter what. We have to become God conscious rather than problem conscious, focused on God rather than the problems. All too often we glance at the walls of our problems when we need to be focusing on the Lord. As Hebrews later goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, notice what he says, the terminology, the words he used. We're to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, looking unto Jesus, as another version say, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Third, we need to see also, and this is vitally important, and it's a part we hate to do, is the weight of faith. The weight of faith. We hate waiting. How many of you love to wait? I didn't see any hands go up. I know there weren't any hands going up at home. Verse 14 and verse 15 show us the weight of faith. Notice in verse 14, and the second day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp, and so they did for 6 days, day after day after day. And that's all they did. They did what the Lord said. They went back to their camp. Next day they got up, did what the Lord said. They went back to their camp. The next day they went and did the same thing again. 6 days they're doing the same thing. Their weight, you see the weight of faith. On verse 15, it says, on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of day, marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times. One of the hardest disciplines in the Christian life is learning to wait on God. It's far easier to worship, and it's far easier to work than it is to wait. And yet often God brings us through seasons of life where obedience is to continue, but we don't see any results yet. And you just have to keep on doing what the Lord has shown you in His Word to do, and you keep being faithful. For 6 days they marched around Jericho, and absolutely nothing changed. The wall's still the same size. The people are still inside the city of Jericho. They're up on the rampart, up on the wall there. They're up on their towers. They're still there. Nothing changes for 6 days. The walls are still high. The gates are still shut. The enemy is still looking as strong as ever before. And every day must have felt like a test of their resolve. Is this even going to happen? I mean, we've been doing this 5 days. Now we've been doing this 6 days. And getting up that next morning, that seventh morning, we're going to go do it again. Every step around those walls must have challenged their trust. 6 days passed, nothing changed. On the seventh day, they circle the city again and again. First time around, nothing changes. Second time around, nothing changes. Third time around, nothing changes. Fourth time around, nothing changes. Fifth time around, nothing changes. Sixth time around, nothing changes. Seventh time around, nothing yet has changed. Still nothing's happened. Faith had to endure. Waiting exposed the true condition of their faith. And it exposes the true condition of our faith. Because when we obey and nothing happens, are you still going to be faithful to do it again, to keep being faithful? When we obey again and again, and there's no outward progress, discouragement begins to creep into our hearts and our minds and says, this is pointless. God's forgotten about your problem. God's forgotten about this. Nothing's changing. And yet God was not absent. He was working in ways they could not see. He was teaching them endurance. He was stripping away all self-reliance. He was preparing them for a victory that could only be credited to Him. The Bible repeatedly affirms the necessity of patient faith. Isaiah 28:16 says, whoever believes will not be in haste. In other words, faith doesn't panic, faith doesn't rush, faith does not manipulate the outcome. And so that's so often what we want to do. We want to take matters into our own hands and manipulate it to get the results we want. What faith does is faith rests in the certainty that God is never late and God is never confused. His timing is always perfect. Isaiah 30:18 also says, blessed are all they that wait for Him. So God sometimes delays, not because He's unwilling, but because He is working something deeper within you than you could ever realize. Some of us are waiting in a waiting season today. You've prayed, you've obeyed, you've trusted, and yet nothing seems to change. Here's a word, two words I want to say to you tonight. Don't quit. Actually, three if you count the first one as a contraction, two separate words. Do not quit. Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 36, the writer of Hebrews has already said, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So understand, faith doesn't collapse in the silence. Faith waits. And it waits expectantly, it waits confidently, it waits obediently, knowing that when God moves, the result will be unmistakable. So don't misunderstand, waiting is not just sitting back and relaxing and coasting through. Faith is just keep on doing what the Lord has told you to do. Notice the word of faith in verse 16 through verse 19. When Joshua finally commands the people to shout, the walls were still standing. Nothing outward has changed. Look at verse 16. They marched around seven times. Nothing's changed. Verse 16 says, at the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And then verse 17, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab, the prostitute, who we're going to look at next week, and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. We'll find out later the trouble they got into with that. But all the silver and the gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So remember, he's told them march around seven times. They've marched that seventh time. Nothing has happened yet. He tells them to shout. He gives them the command to shout. The walls are still standing. The nothing outward has changed. Yet he boldly says, the Lord has given you the city. Not that he will give you, but he's already given it. Why? Because God had already spoken. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, the Lord said, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho. The victory already existed in God's heart and in God's plan. So faith is speaking in agreement with what God has said. Joshua doesn't speak out of emotion or desire or some wishful thinking. And we need to realize that. Faith does not do that. Faith does not speak out of emotion or desire or wishful thinking. What does Joshua do? He speaks out of revelation, out of what has already been told to him. He repeats the promise that God has already said. Romans 10, verse 17 tells us, you remember this verse, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not something that we manufacture, it's something we receive when God speaks. So Joshua here is not pretending, he's not wishfully thinking, he's aligning his words with God's words. And so he's repeating to the people what God has already said to him. That's the principle of faith. God speaks, and we need to agree. Now, you read Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 through verse 6. It says, he has said, so we can confidently or boldly say in verse 6. That's why Scripture is so vital. When guilt begins to accuse you, you can say what God says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When fear begins to attack you, you can say what God says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Faith is learning to speak God's truth into your circumstances. You cannot speak God's truth if you're not in God's truth. So make sure you're in God's word. You're in the truth of his word. We struggle so often because we speak from our feelings rather than God's promises. Faith reverses that order. You may not feel forgiven, but if God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. You may not feel victorious in your life, but if God has promised victory, then it's settled. Faith is not denying the reality. It's declaring God's authority over the reality. And that leads us to the wonder of faith. The wonder of faith. Go to verse 20. So the people shouted. Walls are still standing. And the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. When the people shouted, the walls collapsed instantly. No cracks, no slow erosion, they fell flat. In other words, what human effort could not accomplish in 40 years, God accomplished in a moment. That's why the wonder of faith, because when God moves, he moves decisively. God still works that way even today. He is still in the business of bringing down strongholds, of breaking chains, of restoring lives, of opening doors that nobody else can open. Faith doesn't just endure, it ultimately triumphs. And so what stands in your way today can fall in a moment by God's power. But notice also that this moment of victory for Israel also carried a moment of judgment. The same event that brings victory to Israel brings destruction to Jericho. God had been patient. You get that? In those last 6 days and up to this seventh day of them marching around, you know what? That was a visible sign to Jericho. God's fixing to move. You better get your heart right with God. These are God's people. God is coming. And it was a visible message to them that God is showing his mercy and his grace. God had been patient. God is patient. He is long-suffering toward us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. He had waited for centuries, but the people of Jericho had rejected him. And so when those walls fell, it was mercy. What was mercy for one became judgment for another. You know that's going to happen one of these days. The last day is going to come, and another trumpet is going to sound, and the clouds are going to part, and Jesus is going to come again, and that will be it. It will be mercy for some, and it will be judgment for many. Understand this. Faith is not optional. It is the dividing line. It is through faith that there is victory. It is through unbelief that there is judgment. So understand, God is not cruel. He's just. He loves you, and he's waiting for you, and he's being patient, super patient. He was super patient with every one of us who've come to faith in Christ. And he's super patient with you tonight. He's waiting on you to trust in him by faith. And he always honors faith. Jericho didn't fall because Israel was strong. It fell because God is faithful. Those walls didn't crumble by human power, by clever planning or religious effort. They fell because a people led by Joshua chose to trust God completely. And the same God that brought down those walls is standing here for you tonight. You may be here tonight as a believer, and you're weary. You feel like giving up. But hear me, this may be your seventh lap around. This may be the moment that God has ordained to show his power. Don't quit when you're one step away from victory. Your Jericho may be fear, it may be guilt, it may be many other things. Whatever stands in your way, it is not stronger than our God. The walls may look like the city walls of Jericho did. It may look immovable, but understand that God specializes in the impossible. He's not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. He is not finished with you. There is only one requirement, and that is faith. Not trying harder, not pretending longer, not fixing yourself first, but trusting him completely. So as a believer here tonight, or a believer watching online tonight, no matter how high your walls appear, remember that God specializes in impossible victories. Trust him. Obey him. Wait for him. Get in his word so you know his promises, so you have his truth to stand upon. Speak his word and expect his power, and your Jericho can fall by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand before you today just like Joshua before Jericho. And we see, Lord, the walls that of problems. We feel the pressure. We know the fear. But, Lord, we come before you tonight to just say, I trust you. Lord, teach us to worship before we worry. Lord, teach us to obey even when we don't always understand. Lord, help us to wait without quitting, without giving up. And Lord, help us to be in your word, to speak your word with boldness. God, we ask you to do what only you can do. Whatever, Lord, it is that may be standing between us and your will, we ask you to bring that wall down. Lord, it may be guilt, set those free. It may be those who are in fear, give them peace. Lord, it may be one who is broken by some failure in their life. I pray that you would restore them with the hope of the gospel. Lord, for the one who's never trusted you, I pray that you would draw them to Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, as we know already from your word, that you have given us the victory. Lord, that you are our helper, that you are our strength. Lord, help us not to fear. Help us, Lord, to trust you. We surrender to you. We believe you. And we pray all of these things in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." If the Lord's spoken to your heart, would you come tonight? If you're at home, would you comment there online? Brother Mike. Thank you, Miss Gail. Thank you for being here with us tonight online. You could have been any other place, but thank you that you were here with us tonight to hear God's word. I want to encourage you to have a blessed week. We'll be back Wednesday night, 5 o'clock for the meal at the Fellowship Hall. We'll have our Awana starting at 5:25 in here with council time, and then our prayer meeting time will start at 6 o'clock. Come and join us if you can in person. If you're at home and you come for our prime timers normally, don't forget that that will be in the fellowship hall this time, not in the ministry center. So join us there at the same time at 12 o'clock. So look forward to seeing you then. You have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Wednesday.